Well, this morning now, we want to continue on with our series, actually bringing the concluding message of our series on 2020, What Would Jesus Say? Now, throughout this series, what we've been doing is week by week for the last 5 weeks, we've attempted to ascertain the question, and that hypothetical question, what if Jesus were to come into this sanctuary this morning, walk over to this pulpit, what would he say to us about living victoriously in this unprecedented time of world history? Specifically this morning, we want to ponder the question, what would Jesus say about overcoming hard times? A number of years ago, I came across a classic story of a guy that's having a bad day. Matter of fact, it's a real bad day. Listen to what he writes back to his insurance company. Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put trying to do the job alone as the cause of the accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a brand new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than to carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel by using a pulley, which was fortunately attached to the side of the building at the 6th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof and I swung the barrel out and loaded the brick into it. Then I went back to the ground, untied the rope, holding it tight to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. You will note in block number 11 of the accident reporting form that I weigh 175 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded rather rapidly up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until my fingers were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind, was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid now of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer again to my weight in the accident reporting form on block number 11. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounted for the 2 fractured ankles and the lacerations to my legs and lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen the injuries when I fell on the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I laid there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, watching the empty barrel 6 stories above me, I lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. Now that's a bad day. That's a real bad day. You know, so often what I've heard about the year of 2020 is 2020 has been one of the most challenging years of your entire life. Bad days come. Bad days come to everyone. They come to saint and to sinner alike. It's an undeniable fact of life. Listen now to what Psalm 34, verses 19 to 20 tells us. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, other translations read this way. Many are the problems of the righteous. Another translation, many are the trials of the godly. Yet another, many are the sufferings of the just. Now, there are some in Christianity that want to deny this fact. They assert that problems, if they come your way, only come because you lack in faith. Even the most casual reading of the Bible brings you soon to the conclusion that godly men and women all throughout history, they too have suffered. For instance, Joseph, he was a righteous man, a righteous young man, and was hated by his brothers and then sold off as a slave. Job, the Bible says, was a righteous man. He was the most righteous of all living on the planet. Yet the Bible says he lost his wealth, his health, and even his family. Daniel, the Bible tells us how he was cast into a lion's den for daring to pray to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into a fiery furnace. Isaiah was placed in a log and then sawed in half. Jeremiah the prophet was stoned to death. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus was crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. James was beheaded. And John the Apostle was placed in a cauldron of boiling oil, then banished to the Isle of Patmos. It is in John chapter 16 that Jesus forthrightly tells his disciples, he says, "In this world you shall have tribulation." Now, Jesus, at this moment, he is not saying this to scare or to depress his followers. He is saying this so that they might be informed and that they might be prepared for all that life may possibly throw at them. It is like a weather alert. When a tornado is, you know, possible, they will take and they will send out the alarm. And the alarm, again, is not to scare, it's not to depress, it is not to discourage, but rather so that we would be prepared if indeed this would come our way. Hard times are not necessarily an indication of any kind of secret sin or even rebellion against God, nor is it an indication of a lack of faith. Troubles, problems, and suffering are simply a fact of life. And if you read through the scriptures, you'll discover in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, "Think it not strange, think it not a unique circumstance when you are going through trials of every kind." Matter of fact, as you read in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 14, it says, "Through great tribulation, you will enter into the kingdom of God." So the Bible here is giving to us insights so that we might be prepared and that we might know that in those moments when trials come, problems come our way, that God has not abandoned us, that God is still on his throne, and he's going to bring us through, and the way out is going to be through it. Now, friends, there are many that would like to go about cherry-picking scripture. They would like to pick this one and say, "I like this one. This one kind of makes me, you know, feel like the way I want to feel," and reject some of the others. You know, I find that sometimes some of the greatest challenges that I face in my Christian life reading the Bible are some of the verses I would just as soon not be in the book. Anybody else? You know, when the Bible tells me I'm going to turn the other cheek, sometimes I say, "Lord, they've already slapped all four." And there are times when you just feel like, you know, how much more do I have to go through here? And so troubles, problems, and suffering, they're simply a fact of life. And you cannot, leave out certain portions of Scripture in order to build your theology. It must be built on the whole counsel of God. It's like coming into someone's home. If I were to invite you over to my home that I've lived in for 30-some years now, my home was built back in the 60s, and if I were to invite you to come into my home, and as far as you went is into the garage, and you went into the garage, you would say, "Well, this guy doesn't take much care of his garage. you know, and he must just like fixing cars or, you know, repairing things. That's all I found. That's the Brooks house. And your picture of how we live would be based on the fact that you only went into the garage. Now, some others may come and you would walk into our home, and just to the right of the door as you enter in would be the downstairs, you know, restroom. They call it the powder room. Others would call it the necessary room, all right? But nonetheless, if you came and that's all you did, it's went in there, and then you walk up on second floor and you'd find that there's a full bath, another half bath, you'd probably say, you know, that's all they have is bathrooms in the Brooks house. Or maybe you'd go to the kitchen. Oh, that's my favorite place. And in the kitchen, you know, you might go and you would say, that's all the Brookses must do is eat, because I never found anything else other than kitchen. Or to the bedroom, all they must do is sleep. And so you need to walk into every single area of a person's house in order to know what that home is all about. And so it is with God's eternal word. There are portions of the word that bring great challenges to us. But even in the challenge, he is not trying to scare us. He is not trying to depress us, but rather he's trying to prepare us so that we might be ready for whatever comes in life. So troubles and problems and suffering, Jesus said himself that it's just a simple fact of this life here on this earth. But why? Why is it so? If God is sovereign, and we believe that God is sovereign, meaning that God is the final authority on all things, if God is sovereign, why doesn't he protect his children from all trials, from all problems, and from all suffering? Now, if that were to be true, wouldn't that make a great sales pitch for the Christian life? As people drive onto the lot, we'd say, come over here. If you want a life that will never again ever have a problem, let's pray together and you're going to be good for the rest of your life. You will never face another problem. You'll never even run out of gas again. First of all, I believe that God intervenes far more times than we'll ever know on this side of eternity into our daily lives. You know, there's no doubt that some of our guardian angels are probably feeling rather frazzled. That angel that watches over, protects, and whatever that realm may be, the Bible doesn't have a whole lot to say about it, but there are guardian angels, and I am grateful to God for the many times that I believe that they have come to my aid and to your aid. One time of which was when I was swimming, actually doing body surfing, and Makapu Beach in west or eastern shores on Honolulu. And I was caught in a riptide that took me deep out into the ocean and far away. I could not swim against it. I did my best to try to break free from it. I could not. And finally, so absolutely worn out, I'd swallowed so much salt water and I was vomiting and a lot of things was going on. And finally, I looked up, and I saw a Hawaiian. The water where I was at was 35 feet deep. You can go to Makapu Beach, and there's a chart of the waters right there, giving all of the depths. And here this angel was, literally, God sent help to me. And he said, can I help you? I said, can you help me? And he said, that's why I've been sent. And he literally took me in that 35 feet of water, carried me all the way in, placed me on the shore. And he said, is there anyone else that you're concerned about? And I said, yes, I was out in the waters with a friend of mine. He said, they're okay. Went to the water, turned around, smiled, looked at me, and just, boom, disappeared right in front of my eyes. Now, I think there's times when the angels must gather together in heaven and say, you know, I'm always getting this guy out of a mess. And I believe that God does. And I think that many times we're like Mr. Magoo. We're absolutely oblivious to all the times of God's divine intervention into our lives. And friend, I would say to you this morning, it wasn't luck. It was the good Lord that brought you out, brought you through. Amen? and it's His goodness and His kindness. So first of all, we need to realize that God intervenes more times than we'll ever know on this side of eternity into our lives. But secondly, troubles, they tend to humanize us. You know, when things are going good, it's easy to become cocky, easy to become self-reliant. And then our expectations of others become unrealistic and overly demanding. I received a phone call from a very dear friend of mine. And I won't even say what state he's in because I don't want to identify him. I'll let him tell his own story when and if he chooses to do so. But he was having a Bible study. In this Bible study, he said that we became rather cocky. We don't need to wear masks. We don't need to protect each other. We don't need to do anything. We're under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are. And thank God for divine protection. However, he said, we had actually become more self-reliant and prideful than we were operating in faith. If you're not careful, here's what will happen. Pride will begin to disguise itself as faith. And when it does, you begin to judge everyone else round about you. And he called me just to let me know because his wife was now in the hospital with COVID. He too had COVID. And everyone in this prayer group, yes, prayer group, had contracted this disease. And he simply was saying to me, you know, we've got to operate both with wisdom. We need to operate under the blessing of God. And we need to operate doing the right things at the right time. And so what he was saying there is divine protection. Thank God for it. But there's also wisdom that God gives us in every dimension of life. And we need to operate within that. And so Jesus said, you are living in a world, in a cosmos is the word that is used in the Bible. You're living in a cosmos whereby there is this enemy that longs to do harm to God's people. And there are natural dangers that are woven into the fallen creation round about ever since Adam and Eve chose to sin. And as a result of that, troubles then, if we're not careful, we'll try to always either blame somebody else for them or we'll always try the best we can. And I have no problem with trying to avoid every problem we can in life, but we need to make sure we're operating in true faith. And what happens when troubles come into our lives, they begin to help us develop a heart of compassion towards others that are going through this season of troubles. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you were to ask them what happened in the fiery furnace, they would say that in the midst of that hour, at the time when it seemed like it was all over, the fourth one that looked like the Son of God showed up on the scene. And he was there, he comforted us, he was with us in the fire of that moment. And our lives will never be the same again. We will never fear what the king may say. We will never fear what men may do to us because we know that our God is greater. And we know that the one that was with us in the fire is hotter than the fire itself. And so we find troubles then when they come. Or Daniel, if you were to ask him, Daniel, what did you learn in the lion's den? I'm sure he would say, in the midst of the lion's den, I learned how close God is when we're going through times of trouble in our life. So thirdly, I want you to consider how troubles, they seem to engrave the image of Christ deeply on our hearts. You know, those who have suffered greatly often shine the greatest for God. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata. You know, this lady absolutely radiates the presence of Jesus Christ. I was at a breakfast with her in Florida a few years ago, and, you know, there was something just, it radiates out of her, a love for God. It was a young lady that, from a diving accident from that time on, has been a quadriplegic and has been in a wheelchair all the time. Dr. Billy Graham has had her on many occasions accompany him and be one of the testimonies on the stage for thousands and thousands of people to hear. All of this, she said, had it not been for that accident, I've never been on that platform with Dr. Billy Graham. I would have never had a story that stands out above all the other stories in life. And so Johnny Erickson Tada, she radiates the presence of God. There's another by the name of Merrill Womack. Merrill was an outstanding vocalist. He was flying his own aircraft, going from city to city as he was singing in the various places. His plane crashed. He was burned beyond recognition. For those of you that may have seen some of the pictures of Merrill Womack and from the accident, his head looked like, and this is a bad correlation, but it is what it is. His head looked like a marshmallow that had caught fire. And it was burned beyond recognition. There in the hospital, he miraculously, he was saved out of that fire. But in the hospital, while he was healing, the doctor said, it is very likely you'll never be able to sing again. Friends, let me tell you, not only did Merrill Womack come back singing, he came back with a new song, a song of praise to God that nobody else could sing. And his vocal range was beyond anything he had ever experienced before. So not only did he come through the fires, he came through it with a praise towards God and his voice giving declaration. And again, he says, had I not gone through what I had gone through, I've never known God like I know him today. Or Dave Reaver. Dave Reaver, if you've read the book, Welcome Home, Davey, or any of the others. David Reaver has been with us here at Oak Creek Assembly of God on a number of occasions, and I've been with him in other places around the nation. Dave Reaver, while in Vietnam, he was burned, 60% of his body was burned away by a phosphorus grenade. There in the hospital, they took all mirrors away. They took away any way for him to be able to see how badly he had been burned. His ears melted off. Most of his nose is gone. This portion of his head and whatnot will not grow any hair or anything because of all of the scar tissues. His fingers, the total of five with both hands. Everything else, the digits, literally burned off. I've sat at a table with him on more than one occasion when the waitress would come. And when she would say, you would just hear this, oh, you'd hear this because of the way that he looks. And he has such a wonderful sense of humor. He has plastic ears that have been, attached to where his ears have burned off. And he'll take the ear off and he'll say, I play by ear. And he'll tell you, and this man has gone all over the world ministering to our military, men and women all over the world and all over the country. And he lets them know how much God cares for them. You know, someone has said, they do not relate to our strengths. They relate to our pain. And when someone's gone through like these individuals and what they have gone through, Nick Vucevic, which, if you know Nick's story, Nick was born without legs and without arms. This young man, I've watched him for the years. He has the most incredible sense of humor, and he preaches to the thousands all over the world. And he has a declaration nobody else can match, because he is one of a kind in so many ways. I was in Kyiv, or you may say Kiev. One is the pronunciation of Russian, and the other one is in Ukrainian. It was in Kyiv. It was at a time when I was just leaving the city, and it was going to be Pentecost Sunday. 500,000 people gathered in the center of Kyiv, or Kiev, so that they might hear this young man preach and tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, I'm telling you here today, no matter what you go through, God is going to work all things together for your ultimate good. And even when we go through trials and tribulations, He has not abandoned us. He has not given up on us at all. And to some degree, in every single situation that you face and I face, you will determine and I will determine the outcome of that trial, whether I become bitter or whether I become better. Whether I allow God to shine me or whether I allow that moment to tarnish me. And in those moments, God is using these men and women in the most phenomenal way. Men and women will often listen to that when you are telling your own story, when you're telling what you've gone through. If you tell them that you just got a new house and it was given to you and you inherited all of this, they won't relate much to you. But you tell them you've been through some painful experiences in life and that you are where you've been, where they are right now. Suddenly, you've got an audience that is tuned in. They want to hear what God has done in you, what God has done through you, how God brought you out. And it's not a fearful thing. It's rather telling the story of God's goodness over and over and over. Fourthly, troubles help us turn our eyes to Jesus and towards heaven. You know, if it weren't for troubles, think about it, this world would be a near perfect place. This world is amazing. And when God created this planet, He gave us, you know, just the perfect amount of oxygen. He gave us the perfect amount of water that we need. Everything that is needed to sustain life. And those of us that are born here in America, we literally been born in the bread belt of the world. The breadbasket of the world. We have everything. Think about it. God created, you know, the fields so that they could produce. And not just produce, you know, the weeds and the thorns and the thistles, but the wheat and the rye and, you know, all that we need for bread and all of this. God has created such a wonderful, incredible place for us. And if it weren't for troubles, many of us would just be happy just to stay right here. Think about nothing more. But troubles make us long for our heavenly home. It makes us think about something other than this world. Friend, I want you to know, eye hath not seen, ear is not heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him and are looking for His appearance. God is going to blow you away by what He's got in store for you in heaven. And it's not just in the realm of streets of gold and all of this stuff. Take that or leave it. The only thing I get excited about when I think of heaven is being with Jesus and being with my loved ones who have gone on ahead. Those are the two things that mean more to me than mansions or streets of gold or anything of the like. Now back to Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. First of all, notice that first phrase, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And then you find the conjunction. And this conjunction is that little three-letter word, but. So the Lord, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but. And anytime you come across that conjunction in a comment or in Scripture, it does the same thing. It cancels out what precedes it. Now, guys, if you say to your wife, that's a beautiful dress, but, you're going to get all four slapped. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let that sink in for a moment. As much as we may not want that, you cannot go through the whole counsel of God and come up with any other conclusion. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, cancel that out. The Lord. And the word that is used there for Lord is Jehovah, the self-existent one, the promise maker, the promise-keeping God. Matter of fact, as you read through the Bible, you'll find this capital L-O-R-D, which refers to Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, 7,000 times you'll find it in Scripture. 7,000 times he makes a promise and he signs it with his own unfailing name, the Lord God Jehovah. And it says, what does Jehovah the Lord do? Delivers him out, and of them all. It means to strip, to plunder, to snatch away every single attempt of the enemy to gain any foothold or any, you know, leverage in and over our lives. Andre Crouch, how many know that name? Yeah, there's a number of you. You're all my age. For the younger generation, a man that God used in a phenomenal way during the Jesus rallies, the Jesus time here in America. Andre Crouch, he wrote a song. And in that song, he says this, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I never hit a problem, I would never know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God can do. Now, he uses a term here. Don't let it slip away on you. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. You know, somebody said that history teaches us that every problem has a lifespan. No problem we ever face will be permanent. Think about some of the things you faced earlier on this year. Think of some of the concerns you had. Maybe even some of the worries or frets when you went to bed at night. And you're here on this Sunday of December, and you look back and you say, the devil could not take me out. The devil could not win. The devil had no hold or control over my life. But it was through it all. Someone has said, the way out is the way through. And many times that is exactly where we find ourselves. The way out is not under, it's not over, it's not around. It is through it. And friend, I want you to know the same God that separated the waters for the children of Israel to cross over the Red Sea or over the Jordan. Either time, it was the hand of God. The same God that created that miracle will create the miracle you need as well. He will see you through it, whatever you're in. And think back to what he's already brought you through this year. Maybe you've gone through sickness or disease. You've had a cancer that you are here in the sanctuary tonight or this afternoon or morning saying, God, you brought me through. The bank was after you. Your job was on the line. How will I provide for my family? And now you're closing out the year and you're saying, God has been faithful. He has not let me down one moment. So what would he say if he were in the room this morning? Quickly, here's what he would say. Number one, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Seven times, you know, seven is often considered the perfect number, the number that is the number of perfection. So I find it interesting that there are seven times in Scripture that he declares from Old Testament through New Testament, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So in the midst of the trial, when it comes your way, I want you to remember in those moments, he's not going to forsake you. Secondly, when you pass through the fire flood, he said in Isaiah 43, I will be with you. I will not be somewhere aloof, watching from afar, but I will go with you through the fire, through the flood. Matter of fact, I think if he were here this morning, he would also say to us, fire can't harm you and lions cannot devour you. I believe he would say to us this morning, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Whenever that is and however it comes, don't worry about it. Lo, I'm with you always. And in those moments when you pray and you said, God, like the Apostle Paul said, I asked the Lord on three different occasions to take this thorn of the flesh away from me. He said, I heard the voice of the Lord say back to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And there are times, friends, when instantaneously, other times progressively, God will take care of the whole situation. It'll just kind of all go away. And other times, he's going to put the grit inside of you. And when you feel weak, you're going to sense the supernatural power of God. And he's going to come alongside. He's going to say, I am going to succor, which means I will add strength to your strength. So whatever it's going to take to be an overcomer, it's a done deal. I will not leave you, forsake you, and I will make sure that my grace is sufficient for you. I love Romans chapter 8. There is nothing present. There is nothing, you know, future, past, or to come. There's no height, no depth. There's no demonic power, no angelic power. There is nothing that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, he has made us to be more than what? Conquerors. You know what that means in the Greek? You are hyper. Have you ever been called hyper before? Not since 4 years old. Hyper conqueror. It means a super conqueror. Whatever you go through, remember, you're going through. You're going through. When the problem comes, you're going through. And you're going to come out the other side like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And they said, I don't understand this. We threw them in there and they were bound. And you know what? The fire, all it consumed without even burning their wrists when it burned off was the shackles. That which bound them was gone. And then they went, you don't even smell of smoke. That's better than you can do going to a restaurant. God is for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Now this morning, if you're in the house and you said, you know, I need to get right with God, I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. If you're in the house this morning, you're saying, you know, Pastor, well, I'm in it. I'm looking to go through. I'm ready to get out of it, but that's where I'm at. I'm so grateful. We don't have to fake it until we make it. We can hold on to the Word, which is greater than that. And as we hold on to the Word today, you're probably saying, you know, the bank is after me. During 2020, they've laid me off, and, you know, I don't know how much longer. My lights will stay on. I don't know how much longer I can make it here. No matter what it is that you're going through right now, I want to pray for you. And I want you to leave this place today with that assurance that God knows who you are. There's five things that God told me when I stood before my family, did the funeral for my sister-in-law, Marvelyn, who had battled cancer for 12 years in her life. At the foot of her bed, she had the sign, "I shall live and not die." She fought an incredible fight. When I preached her funeral, we had to get the biggest church in town, which is the Lutheran Church, and they filled it to overflowing. People coming because they knew of her faith that was unwavering, no matter what happened over the period of the 12 years. But God's told me, he said, when you stand before your family, before that congregation, there's five things I want to tell them. I want you to tell them. Number one, I want you to tell them that I know. Friend, whatever you're going through, God knows. Secondly, he said, I want you to tell them that I love them. God loves you. Thirdly, he said, I want you to let them know that I care. Not only do I know, but I care. Fourthly, he said, I want you to tell them that I've got a plan and that I'm working the plan. And even though you may not know where this plan is all headed at any given time, you can trust me because I am the Lord your God and I do all things well. And then he said, I want you to tell them that the last chapter has not yet been written. The last chapter has not yet been revealed. And so wherever you're at today, God loves you. God cares. God's got a plan. He is working the plan. And the last chapter is going to be one of victory. And when the dust is settled, you're going to say, God was with me the whole time. He saw me through and he's never failed. So if this morning you want to get right with God, this morning if you're here and you're saying, I need some prayer, this year has just kind of bounced me off the walls. And I just need to settle this in my heart. God's got this. It's going to be okay. I want you to come from all over this room. We're going to pray in just a moment here at the altar. As Mike leads us today with that old course, if I never had a problem, I never know that God could solve them. It's faith in God that's going to see us through. You come as he begins to sing.